Here, don't you? And what a blessing to hear the good music and just enjoy that very, very much. It's good. We're going to have a little treat for you this morning. We have several pastors in our church who are retired or no longer in the ministry, and that God has been blessed their ministries. And we've had Brother Bandy preach, and of course, Brother Cox is on our staff. We have Brother Renz. We have Brother Zellner. Be in prayer for Miss Zellner. She's not feeling well. Remember her in prayer. And we've had others. We've had Brother Mosley and some others who've been here. Brother Henderson. Enjoyed Brother Henderson's ministry when I was here. One of the pastors who joined our church has been years ago. It's probably been 4 or 5 years ago. Is Brother Minnick. And Brother Minnick's wife is in the rest home. Him and her both there in the rest home here off of Western Center. His wife had a stroke probably 10, 11 years ago, somewhere around there, and is there. And I just really look up to Brother Minnick on that part of there taking care of his wife. And what a blessing that is to see a man take care of his wife. And then the second time I sat down with Brother Minnick, I had him just recount the ministries he'd been a part of and that he had pastored. And he's pastored several churches over the years. Started the ministry when he was 19. He's 82 now. And I would say what would typify his ministry or describe his ministry over the years is that he would take churches that were in trouble, churches that were on their way down or already down or next to closing, and he would step into those churches and rebuild those churches. It's the same type of ministry that Brother Eddie Johnson had, that God used Brother Eddie Johnson, our home pastor, that same way. And so Brother Minnick has seen a lot of churches that were just about to close and be restored. And a lot of times would pastor them 4, 5, 6 years. I don't know if he's pastored some longer than that maybe. But would see God move in a mighty way. And I enjoyed it. I got to hear Brother Minnick preach here a few weeks ago at the rest home. They gave him a badge here the other day. Gave him the honor of being the ambassador of good news there at the rest home. And I was just privileged to get to know him. I was privileged to be at his 80th birthday party here a couple years ago. And what a blessing it is to have Brother Minnick in our church. And a blessing to have him in this morning. We're going to tag team this morning. He's going to come and preach a little while. And then I'm going to preach as well. Come on, Brother Minnick, and we appreciate him. And what a blessing. Amen. His grandson coming with him. Brother Dylan, his grandson, has surrendered to preach. He'll be going to college, Bible college here in the fall of this next year. Of course, got granddaughters here. And
thank you, brother. Thank you. My, what an introduction. If a fella could live up to all that, he'd be okay, wouldn't he? Good morning. Isn't this a wonderful day? Glorious to get close to Christmas time and be able to get together. I noticed a lot of things today that are special just because the Lord Jesus, God the Son, became the Father's only begotten Son, and that was for some reason. You know, that babe in the manger was not accidental. It was all part of God's plan. You know that? Yes. We're worshiping a baby as he lay there. What was that like? It was in no crib, was it? He was in an old barn, and they put him over there on the hay. And that little babe lay there. But because, you know why he came? Because all down through the centuries, there's old sinners like these in this crowd, like all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't have any hope at all. So the Lord sent us that little babe. But there was a shadow of God's old Christmas tree cast over that little form as he lay there on the hay. Shadow of an old rugged cross. Well, not like something beautiful and green with all the decorations that make it so lovely. Wherever you go today, one in our place, 11 feet tall and just full of color and beauty. And it wasn't like that. No, no. It was the darkness of an old rugged cross which the idea created by the Romans to torture to death the worst of criminals. And that's what he came for. Oh, and we get so happy and we have so much fun around our tree, and everybody looks forward to the time when the packages are all going to be passed out, and they'll look for the name, and they'll call the name, and then all you got to do to receive yours, there's Joe and Jim and John and Shirley and Betty, and just when your name is called, all you got to do is just reach out and take it, right? Just reach out and take it. It's a time of gaiety, but that's not what it was. When she picked up that little babe and Mary held him up to her breast, that shadow was still there. You know, she knew it was there. She knew he was born to die because you and I deserved it. The wages of sin is death, yes. So he became a man. Eternal God can't die. He became a man and made it possible for him to add the rest of the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's it. All down through his life, that cross was casting its shadow on his path. Why, when he was 12, so wound up sitting in a room with all the religious intellectuals around him asking him questions, and they were amazed at his wisdom. Amazed, but that old shadow was there. Huh? He knew why he came. He knew what he was doing there. And when he hung on that old tree, he looked out and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do." Oh, what a God.
Amen.
Oh, what love. God so loved the world that he gave. And we look up on that old tree. No pretty lights or anything like that. No greenery that talks about life, but everything about it speaks of death. And he's hanging there. Finally, he reached a place where he said, "It's finished. It's all over. Not one of those old sinners can owe anything after he comes to me and lets me pay the debt." Oh, there's a lot of us get the idea that we've got to even pay something even after we're saved. Oh, but that's kind of like trying to pay the mortgage payment twice. Huh? No, he paid it all when he paid it for me. Amen? Oh, God, help us today to not forget that God had a Christmas tree while we're enjoying ours. And I'm so glad that God said, "Whosoever will." That means any one of those old sinners. Any one of us. It's enough payment for everybody of all time. The righteous demands of a holy God are met in the price that Jesus paid. And you know, he does it. A lot of contrast, but there's a real comparison in God's Christmas tree and ours. It's how you get the gift, you know. God's saying he loved the world and he let his son become a man so he could die. Well, eternal God didn't do it, could he? No. But he became a man so he could die. And now he's saying, "There's your gift. There he is. If you will take him," he means eternal life. Yeah. He means you got it made from now on. If you will just take him. Now, when he said, "Whosoever will," that's all of us in. But Did you know you can wait till your name is called? And there will be a time, something like this, when God will come and speak to you. And that's when your name is called. Oh, when Brother Crawford's preaching and he tells you about the Savior, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to your heart. And you know what he's doing? He's just calling your name. And all you got to do to have him is just like you do at home when they're passing them out and they call you, you hold yourself out to, oh, I'm ready. Oh, I want him. Like the old Tepozteco Indian down in the mountains of Mexico one time, a couple of missionaries and their families went there, playing, singing. They'd never had any gospel preaching before there. And Brother Bill Jackson got up to preach after the songs. People just flocked in, gathered, something they never heard. But he was talking to them about the love of Christ, like I'm trying to do today. And you know what happened? While he was still preaching, there was a man in the middle of the crowd just stood up. We didn't know at the time. He was a village drunk. But you know what he said? If he loved me like that, I want him. I want him. That's what you can do today. Or what a shame for our old hard hearts when we bow our heads and walk away without him to an eternity without hope. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Amen. That tree, the old rugged cross. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 9. Continue our series of messages on the promise. We've talked about the promise of the Savior, the promise that was given to the Virgin Mary, and today is the promise of a heavenly kingdom. The promise of a heavenly kingdom. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations." Verse 2, Isaiah chapter 9. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light." Have seen a great light. "They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as a men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with the confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." Verse 6 and 7 is our text this morning. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the message we've already heard, the music and the message and song as well. We pray, God, that you bless this time. Help us again to see the importance or the hope of your heavenly kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The reference there in verse 1, when it references Zebulun and Naphtali, these two cities are the same cities as Nazareth and Capernaum. We see Isaiah prophesying 700 years before Christ's birth. 700 years before Jesus is born in that manger. He speaks about a light that would come. A light that would come to Nazareth. A light that would come to Galilee, that there in the northern province. This great light would come in a time of great darkness. We think about the time in which Jesus came, in which there was great darkness. Politically, Rome was at the helm, and Israel was underneath the thumb of the Roman government. Religiously, they were in darkness. The religious leaders of that day and the Jewish The Jewish leaders of that day had put the nation of Israel in bondage, not only to their own law, but to excess laws that they came up with themselves, and to the point of just a heavy hand upon them. Morality in that day and age. And we know, we can go back and read about Rome and its immoral lifestyle, and we can talk about Herod taking his brother's wife and all the things that were going on in that day, and we will know and understand and realize that Jesus Christ came and as a little baby in that manger came to a dark world. He came as a light. A light. And boy, he said, Jesus said himself, he said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that ye are the lights of the world. We're to be that light. Amen? John the Baptist said, I am not the light, but I was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, he said, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so we see this light that's coming to a dark world. Aren't you glad, amen, that Jesus Christ came as a light into a dark world, and today he shines bright as well. We see the promise here in chapter 9 and verse 6 of salvation. It says, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The child is born. I mentioned to our Men of Valor breakfast the other day that unto us, aren't you glad he came unto us? He came unto us. A child is born. This speaks of his humanity. This speaks of his humanity. Jesus Christ was born a man. Everybody with me? Luke chapter 2 verse 7 says that Mary took her firstborn son. Her firstborn son. Speaks of the incarnation of the humanity of Christ. He was born as a man. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? And the Bible makes that very, very clear that God incarnate, that means He became flesh. He became flesh. As a child, He was born. As a child is born. Speaking of His humanity, He was a man, born a man. Then it says to us, a son is given. As a child, he was born. Speaking of his humanity. As a son, he was given. He wasn't born a son, he was given as a son. And that speaks of his deity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ was born a child. He was born a child, speaking of His humanity, God in the flesh. But He was given to us as a Son, God's only begotten Son. Speaking of His deity. Speaking of His deity. Don't get this idea, as some would have us to believe, that when Jesus was here on earth, that He laid aside His deity. He did not lay aside His deity. As He was speaking, as He was preaching, He knew the thoughts of men. He testified that and gave us examples of that many times. When He would say, hey, I know, He knew what they were thinking. He did not lay aside His deity. He was God in the flesh. He was omnipotent God in the flesh. All-powerful God in the flesh. The only thing He laid aside was His glory. Come on, there's a lot there. I'm glad that Jesus came born as a child. He was born a man, as Brother Minnick just said. The eternal God could not die. He had to become a man so that He could die. And He became a man like you and me in order that He might die for us. He presented Himself. He was the Son that was given. John 1:34 says that John the Baptist said this. He said, this is the Son of God. John the Baptist testified, this is the Son of God. Jesus Christ Himself presented Himself as the Son of God and was nearly stoned for that. Philippians 2:6 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God in the flesh. He was the Son that was given. The greatest gift ever given was the Son of God. Christmas is not about Santa. It's not about the gifts. It's not even really about family. It's about the Son of God that was given to us. The greatest gift. Jesus Christ was no normal, not just another child or another good man. He was the Son of God. Christmas is Jesus. Christmas is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Brother Minnick said a moment ago, have you received it? You simply must take Him. Receive Him as your Savior. Receive the gift of salvation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is found through Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. We've been emphasizing this the last few weeks. The shepherd spoke of the good tidings. The angel spoke of good tidings of great joy. That shall be what? To all people. Listen, I've got good news this morning. I've got great tidings this morning. Jesus Christ was born a man in order that He might represent you and me as a man. He was also given to us as a son. Deity. God incarnate. In order that He might live a perfect life and die for us, shed His blood for us, and rise again from the dead that we might have eternal life. Salvation is found in Him. Jesus Christ came for all, He died for all, and He rose again for all. The promise of salvation. A child is born, a son is given. Number two, we think about the promise of hope. And boy, this one really rings true today. And what? The government shall be upon His shoulders. Well, what a great day that'll be. What a wonderful day that will be. I think about those shoulders. The government will be upon His shoulders. I think about the shepherd putting that lamb upon His shoulders. Think about the Lord Jesus taking the government and put it upon His shoulders. This is a part of the Davidic covenant. We won't go into that this morning for lack of time, but 2 Samuel speaks of, chapter 7 speaks of the promise that was given to God, the promise given to David by God, called the Davidic covenant. He told David, King David, that his kingdom would be established forever. God told David that his kingdom would be established forever. Well, David died. Solomon died. And you go down through there and see the breakup of the kingdom and so forth, and you think, well, what's going to happen? The kingdom is no longer, Rome is now in charge. The kingdom shall be upon His shoulders. The government shall be upon His shoulders. He will establish His kingdom forever. Luke chapter 1, verse 32. And angel speaking to Mary said, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Shall give unto this baby the throne of his father David. See, they came the first time. When He came the first time, He was rejected. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But the second time He comes, He'll rule and reign. The first time He came to die. The second time He comes, He'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We mentioned this last week. By the way, just want to encourage you with a promise of hope this morning. I don't want you to turn over there, but I'm going to read a couple of verses in Isaiah chapter 11, which gives us a small glimpse of this reign of Jesus. And you can go home and read it later. You can read verses 1 through about 12. But verse 5 says, and righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, speaking of Him that's reigning, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. A child shall lead the lion around. A child shall lead the leopard around. That'll be a day, won't it? And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. This is describing for us that millennial kingdom. The day in which Jesus Christ returns the second time after the rapture takes place, 7 years later, He returns with His saints and defeats the armies of the world and Satan. And Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit. Won't that be great? And he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. The Bible talks about the lion laid down with the lamb. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. But verse 4 says, verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins. See, when Jesus Christ comes to reign, He will be a righteous judge. He will be a righteous king. Judgment, righteousness, and judgment shall prevail. He'll be a just king. He'll be a fair king. In other words, everything that He does will be right. Wouldn't we like to have some of that today? If they just get a little bit right, it might help. They can't get nothing right. One day Jesus Christ will rule and reign. One day Jesus Christ will reign as King of Kings. The government will be upon His shoulders. And He will reign righteously. He's not just a baby. He's a king. And His kingdom shall be established forever. He will come again. And right and wrong will be right and wrong once again. That's hope, isn't it? It is discouraging. As we look at our government and the things that have happened over the last several years, it's discouraging, isn't it? What's happening in our world today? It's dark, isn't it? Jesus is the light. One day He'll rule and reign. I do want to just mention something that I told the deacons this morning in our prayer meeting. It's time for Christians to stand up. That's our theme. Our theme fits this year. Stand firm in the faith. We've been preaching a series of messages on Sunday nights on standing firm in the faith. And we've gone in standing firm for the church, standing firm for the fundamentals, standing firm for the family. And we continue to see attack on the family today. Just a malicious attack by Hollywood and all that crowd and by most of the other guys on the other side. And it's unbelievable to me how one could be attacked for his belief in biblical values. Isn't it? It just amazes me. By the way, all those in Hollywood just called you a bunch of bigots. Hey, listen. For a man standing up for biblical values, for biblical morality, for biblical right, and I may not have said it the same way he said it, but it's Bible. And he stood up for it and got killed for it. Are you understanding what's happening in America today? What are you going to do about it? You going to get on Facebook and stay neutral? I got on Facebook for several hours because that's where I love to be. I love to be on Facebook. And I was amazed that most took a stand, but some Christians said, well, now I don't want to be a judge. And I don't... Come on.
Amen.
Come on. You're not judging. The Bible's judging. Stand up for something. We as Christians need to stand up for something. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He said, you be the light of the world. Don't remain neutral. Listen, teenagers, don't remain neutral. Don't remain neutral. Stand up for the Word of God. The Word of God says homosexuality is a sin. It's wrong. Just as adultery is a sin. And just as fornication is a sin. Listen, it's wrong. And it's a sin. God loves the sinner, and we are to love the sinner. Amen? And then we get made fun of for making those statements, too. Oh, y'all always talk about loving the sinner. Yes, I love them. I'll do anything. Give them the gospel. Amen? Oh, man. I said I wasn't going to do this morning. I feel good, though. Stand up. Don't stay neutral. Christians, don't stay neutral. You say, well, it'll cost me at work if I say something. Let it cost something. Stand up. I promise you. Preachers have said it over the last 10, 15, 20 years. They've said that one day, pastors are going to be considered a hate crime for what they preach. I'm telling you, if you can't see that day coming, you are blind. Unless something changes, it's going to come a day when you speak and stand up for Bible morality, biblical morality, there'll come a day where a preacher or yourselves will suffer for it. It's already happening. And we need to stand up. We live in a dark day. Listen, stand up. Stand up today. Stand up for right. I'm glad. I'm so confident in my hope that one day a righteous judge will rule and reign. One day, a king will reign who will always do right, who will always judge right. I'm looking forward to that day. That little baby in the manger, one day will rule and reign over the whole earth. One day, I'm looking forward to that day. The promise of hope. The promise of hope. By the way, let Him rule and reign in your heart today. You don't have to wait for Him to rule and reign over the earth. He can rule and reign in your heart right now. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Lastly, we said the promise of comfort. The promise of comfort. We take promise. The promise of comfort we can simply see in the names that are given. Now, I've preached on the name Wonderful. We preached that several years ago during Christmas. And you could preach every one of these names. It could be one sermon on each name. It's amazing. But today, overview. You're all looking at your watches. In these names are wonderful promises. In these names are wonderful promises. Promises of comfort. By the way, in the Bible, there are over 400 names ascribed to Jesus Christ. There's not just one name that describes Him. There are multiple names that describe the Lord Jesus to help us understand who He is. Everyone with me? And so here we just have a few of them. The Bible says there in verse 6, back to Isaiah 9, look at verse 6 again. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful. It speaks of Jesus Christ's love and grace. Speak of His love and His grace. Yes, God loves all mankind. God loves all mankind. And He loves the adulterer as much as He loves the homosexual. He loves the thief and the swindler and the gossiper as much as He loves anyone else. Listen, we are all sinners by nature. We are all selfish by nature. We are all depraved by nature. God loves all of us. Aren't you glad He is wonderful? Because we're not that way. Right? Man, it's tough. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ loves all. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, His love to me? The love of Jesus is wonderful because it's really without explanation. It's amazing how He loves us. He loves us. Number two is Counselor. This simply speaks of His revealing God's will to us, that He is a guide. In other words, who can teach God? He knows everything. Listen, when we're in need of counsel, He is the one we come to for counseling. He is the wonderful. He is Counselor. He is the one that will give us and help us to understand the heart of God. Number three, the Mighty God. The Mighty God. Can I just say again, I think we've already mentioned it a couple times, Jesus Christ is God. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. God in the flesh. This what separates us. This what separates us from the cults. This what separates us from the guys who come and knock on your doors with the little tags and so forth. This is what separates us from the cults. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God. He's just as much God as though He'd never been man, and just as much man as though He'd never been God. He is the God-man. The God-man. And the Word became flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 1. We can go over. There are many, many verses that attest to this. One of the ones I'll mention this morning, 1 John 5:20. We don't mention this one much. The Bible says, "And we know that the Son of God is come." And then it goes on to say, "This is the true God." It qualifies and says, "We know the Son of God is come. This is the true God." It equates the Son with God. This happens over and over and over again in our New Testament. In fact, if you'll remember, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious rulers were trying to stone Christ on at least two occasions because He claimed to be God. Because Jesus Christ Himself claimed to be God. I said, "Preacher, why are you putting so much emphasis? Move on." This is essential. If Jesus Christ was not God, He would not have been sinless. And if He's not sinless, there's no way He could have died for our sins. He was born of a virgin. He was born sinless. He lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. Never one time did He have a sinful thought. Never one time did He perform a sinful deed because He was God. And God cannot sin. And because He lived a sinless life, He was able to lay His life down on that cross. And there He took the wrath of God. There He shed His blood for my sins. The Bible says that He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That God laid on Jesus Christ the sins of us all. Jesus Christ was our sin bearer. And there on the cross, He died for our sins. And as Brother Minnick pointed out, He paid for them in full. Not one sin was left out of all mankind. He died for the sins of all mankind. And if we simply trust in Him, if we simply put our faith and trust in Him, if we simply come to Him and ask for forgiveness of sins and repent of our sins and come to Him believing that He lived, died, and rose again, we can have everlasting life. What a wonderful gift. Then it goes on to say, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. It's almost like put another emphasis on it. I think last Sunday we emphasized the virgin birth. This Sunday is God in the flesh. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. The Everlasting Father, speaking of His deity, speaking of Him as the Eternal Christ. The Eternal Christ. By the way, Jesus said Himself, before Abraham was, I am. You're saying before Abraham? You were just born 32-33 years ago. No, before Abraham was, I am. Because Jesus Christ has always been. And He'll always be. His name gives us great and wonderful promises. The last one found here is the what? Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. I'm glad today that He brings peace. He brings peace to us individually. Amen? Reconciles us to God, bringing peace between us and God. By the way, we were born at enmity with God, the Bible says. And it's through Jesus Christ that we are brought back into favor with God. It's through Jesus Christ that we are brought back into fellowship with God. It's through Jesus Christ that two enemies come together. And it's the cross that spans the chasm. It's the cross that brings us together. It's the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection that brings God and man back together. The great reconciler, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He brings peace individually, and one day will bring peace collectively. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. I'm looking forward to the day that the government will be upon His shoulders, and He'll rule and reign justly. He'll always do right. By the way, our Lord is always just. He always does what is right. He always does what is right. I'm glad today I have hope in knowing that one day He will and rule and reign. I'm glad today I have hope of salvation if I simply put my faith and trust in Him. Hope of one day of the government being upon His shoulders, and I have comfort in knowing that He is wonderful, that He's the Counselor, that He's the Mighty God, that He's the Everlasting Father, and that He is the Prince of Peace. So one day, when He rules and reigns, there will be real peace. Not the peace like we have today, but genuine peace. Collectively. Collectively. Let's all stand. In 167, just as I am, the promise of a heavenly kingdom. One day we won't have to rely upon the American government or Spain's government or Germany's government or anybody's government. One day He will establish that heavenly kingdom. And one day He will rule and reign forever. What hope we have in our Lord. Lord, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the salvation we have and Your Son that was born and given. We thank You for the hope we have of Your eternal kingdom. And Lord, we thank You that You provide and one day will ultimately provide for all of us. I pray, God, today that if there's someone here who has never received You as a free gift, that they've never received Your Son as a free gift, I pray today they would accept Him today. I pray today that we as Christians would magnify and lift Your name up throughout this Christmas season. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing hymn 167, just as I am.